This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Astrid has implored, don't overlook Mexico City as a solo travel destination. She is the solo travel advisor, after all, and to encourage Mexico City as a solo travel destination, on this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid will present her top 20 things to do in Mexico City. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Get excited about solo travel to Ciudad de Mexico with Astrid's top 20 things to do. All right, Astrid, I'm excited for this one. Let's hear it. Your top 20 things to do in Mexico City. Now, I'm just curious. Are you going to be listing these 1 to 20, or are you counting down from 20 to number 1?
Okay, Catherine. For this show, I'm only going to list my top 20 and not rank them really from good, best, to fabulous. Because, you know, it's some of that is a personal preference.
Subjective, yeah.
Yeah. But Mexico City, first of all, is so large and so spread out and somewhat difficult to walk from one area or neighborhood to another. How I'm going to go through my list is I'm going to organize it by activity zones or certain neighborhoods, basically, to help you be able to hit the top 20 to stay organized and really experience Mexico City. Okay, the areas basically are the historic center, Condesa, Roma Condesa, a lot of times, Polanco, Coyoacan, and outside of the city. Another factor that you should consider when you're exploring Mexico City, and to know this, is it has a horrendous traffic problem. And so as a solo traveler, you have to really plan your day. Can I walk everywhere? And if I can only walk to these things, I'm going to have to take a cab or Uber from here to there. Now, you might think it's 3 miles away or not very far away. That 3 miles can take you an hour and a half to get there. Traffic in Mexico City, especially during the rush hour, is as bad as it is anywhere in the world. So you got to be planning and organizing how you're going to get to these top 20. Besides the challenges of getting from one place to the other, Mexico City really is a terrific solo traveler destination. And for Westerners particularly, it is highly affordable. There is so much to do. A lot of people don't realize this, but besides Paris, Mexico City has the most museums of any other city in the world. Mexico City is a cultural Mecca in terms of museums and things from this part of the world, and really collecting from all over the world, etc., but especially in this Mesoamerican, Latin American culture. They have got so many fabulous museums to experience this and learn about it. Also, the fabulous food in Mexico City. Their food has been deemed a UNESCO Intangible World Heritage. Now, I had never heard of that.
I know. But I never knew they even did that.
I didn't either. But I have learned that since. And let me tell you, Mexico City's food is fabulous. Absolutely just fabulous. It's enough just to go to Mexico City is to eat. It's great. Again, super interesting history and culture. Plenty of entertainment venues. Glorious historic and modern architecture, and now even a very hip fashion scene, which that to me doesn't even sound like what would happen in Mexico City. So there's so many great things to do, see, eat, shop, and enjoy. You'll probably really need more than one trip to accomplish all of these Mexico City must-dos. Okay, listeners, here's my top 20 of things to do when you're traveling solo to Mexico City. The first area or zone of activity is really you want to go to the city's historic center or historical center. And please bear with me when I try to say these Spanish words because that's not my forte. But this is where the city began 500 years ago. Now, not exactly in the dead center, but very close to it, but in Historico Centro, that area, is the first sight. It's the Palacio de Bellas Artes. And it is considered the cultural center of Mexico City. And it's really one of the most beautiful buildings in the city. It's probably my favorite old traditional building, but it's beautiful Spanish Baroque. It also has some Art Nouveau and Art Deco elements to the outside design because it's very interesting. It was Spanish Baroque, and then it had to stop because there was a war, something political went on, and they stopped funding it. And then by the time the money came back, the styles had changed, so they put a little Art Nouveau, a little Art Deco, but it's beautiful. This building is very elegant, big, grand. The interior is even more beautiful, or as beautiful as the outside. Black marble everywhere, gorgeous lights, and they have beautiful murals that have been painted in the interior courtyard kind of hallways. It's not open air, but it's got these balcony-looking walkways on each story and the murals. It's just a gorgeous, refined, magnificent building itself. And it's free, but you want to experience the murals. Rufino Tamayo is who the muralist is in the building, and his murals are so famous. So you need to see them. Then also they've got art exhibitions on different floors, and they change all the time. So there's always something great going on there. As well as they have a fabulous theater where they have drama, music, dance, opera, all types of performances. And on the stage, they actually have, I think it's the only one in the world, but it's a Tiffany stage curtain. It's made out of Tiffany glass. It's like a big Tiffany lamp or something. Wow. It's beautiful. It is so beautiful. The building itself is a sight to see, but then what goes on in there is also great. One thing you definitely want to do is, on two nights a week, there is a folkloric dance performance. And this is not to be missed when you go to Mexico City, because it is really kind of a historical cultural expression of Mexico through dance. And it starts off with the primitive deer dance and some of the more primitive Aztec dances, the agricultural dances. Then you get into the wedding dances and the courting dances and the men dancing all together and drinking. And, you know, there's all kinds of different vignettes and scenes. But these dancers are unbelievable. All I could think of is I thought those river dancers from Ireland could really do their feet, and the flamenco dancers. But these Mexican dancers, especially all of them on the row, and pa 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 pa, and they go on and on with it all over and do it. It energizes the theater so much. And then the music, whether it's mariachi or marimba or Aztec, and it's coming out of the balconies and behind you and all over and from the stage and the pit, they create such a fantastic, fiery, vibrant vibe. And the colors and the costumes and everything. It's a fabulous evening, and I can tell you, at the end of the evening that I went there, people were getting up, screaming, yelling. They were so excited. I mean, it was a stronger response than Bravo and Bravo, and you keep bringing the opera singers back. I mean, it was absolutely extraordinary on all levels. So please don't miss it, and get your concierge to get you a ticket, because it can sell out, and it's only two times a week. I forgot the nights that it is. I think it's Tuesday and Sunday or something not quite normal, not Friday and Saturday or Thursday or Friday. I don't really know. So check that. Now, then after you go there, there's about a 4 or 5 block walk very close to what's called the Zocalo. And I'm going to go into the Zocalo, but before you go to the Zocalo, there are a couple of things that I'm going to mention as number two. First of all, if you walk along the Avenida Madero, you will be in the jewelry district. Now, this was such a shock to me because I thought it was just going to be a walking street going to Zocalo with shops and restaurants and that stuff. But oh my gosh, they have all of these jewelry plazas and little vendors in these buildings, just like the LA Jewelry District, the Jewelry District in New York City or in Miami, just like that. I mean, all these vendors of gold, silver, and you know, there's beautiful silver jewelry in Mexico. And then costume jewelry, antique jewelry, diamonds. It's just a real jewelry district. Well, I love jewelry. So, oh my God, I did spend about 3 hours in there and I didn't even touch the surface. But it's wonderful because, first of all, if you're a Westerner, your money really does go a long way. So things are so affordable there. So to begin with, the merchandise was very affordable. Then you also, they're into bartering and they're into haggling. So you can haggle and haggle. And I bought my souvenir. When I buy souvenirs, I just don't want to buy something that indigenous that I put on a shelf. I like to buy something that I wear or I'll use in my home that I actually will enjoy more than just something that is unique to the culture per se. Well, I love jewelry. I like to buy earrings or bracelets or shoes, clothes, or maybe a painting or something that I really will enjoy. Well, I found these fabulous chandelier earrings, like gold lace looking, hanging with seed pearls and these beautiful blue topaz pear shaped stones in the bottom. I mean, these earrings are beautiful. And they were something like $75 and then VAT on top of that. It was gorgeous. I could wear these earrings anywhere to a gala or with a beautiful white shirt and jeans. I mean, these earrings are beautiful. So the jewelry district, I highly recommend that. And that is one of my top 20 things to do if you like jewelry. Now, also in this area, there are a lot of older boutiques and shopping because this is the historical district of Mexico City. So you got some old stores and old families that have been there. So just walking down that street, you'll kind of see it. Also, right before you get to Zocalo and after you've done that shopping in the jewelry district, and I guarantee you won't leave without a silver bracelet or something because the prices are so good, is there's a restaurant called El Cardenal, and it is a Mexico City tradition. Everybody who goes to Mexico City should eat at El Cardenal. It is a three-story old mansion-looking in building in this area. It's beautiful. Antiques, gorgeous pottery, stained glass windows with cardinal birds. That's what El Cardenal means. Piano, live music going on, and the food is wonderful. I started out with hot chocolate because I know hot chocolate or chocolate in Mexico is very, very famous, very high quality chocolate. And I had read something about this chocolate at El Cardenal was really good. So I said, oh, well, instead of tea or whatever, I'm going to have some hot chocolate. Came out this hot chocolate and he poured it out of this pitcher and they do it a certain way. Fabulous. It wasn't too heavy, very rich. Perfect consistency. I mean, the whole meal could have been hot chocolate, but I had to order some other things. But the food there is very traditional Mexican, but it's very kind of old world, but comfortable. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a must do. So I put those, that little shopping in the jewelry district in El Cardenal, right there between the Bellas Artes and Zocalo is number two. I just felt like I needed to say that. Even if you don't like jewelry, you will not leave out there without something. I mean, they have some very nice stuff. Okay, then you get to the Zocalo. And the Zocalo is really the main public square of Mexico City. Basically, it's called the Plaza de la Constitución. And it is the center or the meeting place or dead zero, ground zero of the Aztec civilization. That's who first started Mexico City 500 years ago. But now it is an area that is just full of life. I mean, it is basically like a Times Square without all the bright neon lights. And it's not quite as big, but it's pretty big. And in the middle, where no cars can drive, they've got all kinds of tents and vendors and everything that you can buy stuff, etc., as well as along the square itself. On the other side of the street, you've got shamans doing shaman ceremonies and playing their music and lighting their ceremonial fires and putting herb smoke all over you and helping you cleanse and rebirth. And it's like a little mini mega drama performance that you get hooked in and you want to experience it. I had never seen anything like that. And you'll see it from time to time during the day. And I think they do it at different times based on winter solstice, summer solstice. They're into the sun and the moon in terms of the calendar and the heavens and everything, which I don't understand. But that all goes on there. Then as well as Mexico City is a very Catholic country, and it still is a country that really does practice their faith. A lot of people are practicing Catholicism or some type of faith. Well, they've got the National Cathedral right there. So they have a lot of religious things also that go on this square. And then, of course, you've got your political demonstrations. But this square is full of music every day, whether it's mariachi or the Aztec sound or somebody singing or a more modern rock sound. I mean, it's all happening in this area. And one of the things that is really just astounding there is they've got this enormous Mexican flag. And when I say it is enormous, it's the biggest flag I've ever seen. It's probably the biggest flag in the world. I don't even see how it flops in the wind. It's so big. But it is the proud symbol of a country that is very proud of their history and their culture. And you see it right there. It's no nice size flag. It is like the biggest thing you've ever seen. So this is really the heart of the city, the Zocalo. And then like around the square, you've got all these beautiful Spanish Baroque buildings that are kind of have colonnades in them. Some of them have shops and restaurants or lead up to hotel lobbies or office buildings. So it's in a, I don't even think it's actually totally a square. It's more like an oblong rectangle. But on the northern end is the next thing, and that basically is the National Cathedral or the Cathedral Metropolitana. And it is huge. It is gorgeous. It took about 200 and something years to build. It has 5 naves, 14 chapels, one of the largest organs in the world, catacombs underneath. And this really is a gorgeous church. Just like you go to the Vatican or Notre Dame, it's much bigger than Notre Dame, but some really historic, famous churches in terms of architecture and history and everything. This is one of those. So it's not to be missed. Doesn't take you that long to go through it, but allot yourself about an hour because it's very big. And be aware that, you know, they say Mass daily there, and there are people in there. They leave it open during the day for people who want to pray or light candles or whatever. So they have docents in there, and they want to make sure that, like, I dumbly had my hat on, and I didn't think about it. I had a docent come to me and say, "You have to remove your hat." So it's a place of true worship and reverence, and it's beautiful. It's magnificent, really. So that's number 4. Then number 5, right next to it, which is just so mystical in everything, and it is the Templo Mayor. And this was really where Mexico City started. This is where, as the myth goes or the story goes, where the early Aztec god, and I forgot his name, he was given a sign or a woman that they would build a great city where they saw an eagle perched on a cactus with a snake in its mouth. And this, right next to the cathedral in Templo Mayor, is where this was sighted. And that's where Mexico City started. And that's where the Aztecs built a fabulous, huge city with huge pyramids, markets, living places, etc. Mexico City did not know that this temple in this area existed until 1978, when they were dredging, I think it was for the subway or subway line, and they found these artifacts. So they began to dig, and my God, they found this ancient city. And what they realized is that the Catholic Church, when they came in and built the beautiful cathedral, they buried all of this stuff. So, that started a whole new excavation, and now you can tour the site and look at some of the remains of the pyramids and learn about how they lived and what went on there. And it blows your mind because it's right next to the church, and it's right in dead center of where the square was built. And they didn't even know that this existed there. Fabulous. Also, right there, they have a wonderful museum with over 7,000 artifacts that were found in this area. And it is so interesting and very informative. So to visit the cathedral and then go over to the temple, you've got the pagan and the very Catholic traditional religion, the two big strains that really make up the spiritual world of Mexican culture, right there, next door to each other, on top of each other.
Worlds colliding.
it is something else. And another thing that I did not realize, that this whole area was in a lake. Mexico City, basically, is in a lake, and they built up above it. That's one of the reasons why it's so susceptible to when the earthquakes come and they build it, because it's squishy in there, kind of like New Orleans. But this Templo Mayor, you've got to go see that and spend some time there, because you really begin to understand how unique a lot of what happened here in this culture was and still influences the modern day culture. So fabulous. Number 7, right catty corner to that, is the Palacio Nacional. Now, this is the headquarters of the Mexican federal government, and it is in a gorgeous old Spanish Baroque building. There's not a whole lot to see in there, but the building is beautiful. And you'll want to take some time to go see it, because one of the most famous things housed in there is Diego Rivera, which is one of Mexico's most famous artists. He painted a mural called The History of Mexico, and it's really one of the best murals of any Mexican painter, and it's revered too. I mean, Mexicans go there as a homage, kind of, to see it, to understand it. There are guides that take you through everything that's on the murals, and there's several of them. They're exquisite. One thing you have to remember, if you go there, you have to have your passport on you, because in order to go into the building, you have to surrender your passport. And I just want to say, don't worry about it. I didn't like that feeling, but it's no big deal, okay? And there are also beautiful gardens and courtyards in there, and fountains too, that you can sit in some places, little cafes, you could get something to eat. But they've got also some art exhibitions, really great gift shop in there. And so it's a nice place to spend an hour and a half in. So don't not go into it. It's recommended by everybody. I put it on the top 20 list because it's ground zero of the government of Mexico, and the building is very beautiful. Now, for the evening, you're going to be right there on the Zocalo. And I would suggest you either go to the downtown Mexico City Hotel for a rooftop drink or a bite to eat. It's a beautiful place. It overlooks Templar Mayo and the cathedral. And if you go there during sundown, you'll watch the sun and how it plays on these beautiful old Spanish colonial buildings. And then once the sun goes down, they're all lit up gorgeous like Paris at night. I mean, Mexico City at night is quite beautiful. And the Zocalo especially is beautiful. Okay, then going to the next, number 7. Now, this is a little touristy, but I still think it's on the top 20 because it's so Mexican. It's called Plaza Garibaldi or Girobaldi, and it's really kind of close to Bellas Artes, but a couple of blocks off in the opposite direction of Zocalo. The things here that you want to do, I must say, start late. So as a solo traveler and what I did, not knowing anything about the area, being a little concerned about would I really be safe, would I feel that, well, I was just kind of out of place, and should I be there without somebody else, specifically, say, a male? So I decided to ask my concierge about it, and he said, look, you should get a private guide and a driver to go with you during the night. We'll get you some tickets for an evening show at one of the restaurants that are quite enjoyable. And that's the way you should do it. So that's what I did. But at Plaza Girobaldi or Garibaldi, or I know I'm not saying it the way that Mexicans do, that you have the roving mariachi bands. And it is so much fun because this music is, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. I can't, you know. But they have all these, the trumpets and everything, and everybody's like ready. And these bands are trying to get you to pay for them to sing classic Mexican love songs or all kinds of different songs, and there's all these bands going on all over because there are people who are paying for it. I mean, you don't have to pay any because you hear all this music all over around. But it's beautiful because they're dressed so beautifully in their black uniforms with their silver and their hats. Even though it's touristy, it's still fun. And then they've got little cantinas and cafes all around this place. So you can go and have a beer or a light snack or whatever. Then also right by it is the Museum of Tequila and Mezcal. Now, I'm not into either one of them, but my guide was with me. He took me through it. It was actually interesting. And we did that a little bit before our evening show because our show that I got the tickets for didn't start till 11. But Mexico stays up late. Now, you just have to know it. These people, they go to bed about 1 o'clock. Well, on the weekend, I would say like 1. But during the weekend, maybe a little bit earlier because they're very hard workers. So this was the weekend. I went to this show at the Guadalajara de Noches or whatever. It's this big restaurant that is kind of like a hacienda. And they've got all kinds of different little acts like the rope hat, you know, you twirl
lariat,
the lariat and the mariachi bands, and then they have the Aztec dances. They have all these kinds of different things that are specifically Mexico, and especially these mariachi singers that go and they hold the note, you know, like for 15 minutes. You think this is over, they're never gonna, once they've quit singing this note, they're going to be dead. They would cause themselves to have a heart attack to do this that long. But the whole thing, touristy, but still, it was fun. The restaurant was very colorful. People were having a good time. I did enjoy doing it, and that's why I have it on the list. But if you want to hear the real mariachi bands, the Plaza Garibaldi is where they are every night, and they just go to town, and it's worth doing. Okay, so the next area is what that is known, Condesa and Polanco. They're really two neighborhoods, but they blend together. Condesa is old, upscale, elite neighborhood that's now bohemian and hip, because the elite that lived in Condesa ended up moving to Polanco. And Polanco is really the modern, now sophisticated, ultra chic area of Mexico City. So the next couple of things that I'm going to talk about are in either Condesa or Polanco, or right close to each other, okay? The first thing is the Bosque de Chapultepec Park. This is Central Park of Mexico City. Gorgeous park, 1,600 acres. This, too, was actually still part of the Aztec Empire, but it has a huge lake in it, lots of walking paths. The presidential residence is there. The former presidential palace is there. They've got a great zoo, several major museums that are must-dos, and then all kinds of beautiful sculpture, monuments dedicated to Aztec gods, military, important historical figures in Mexico. Just a very regal, beautiful green space with a lot of different things to do. On top of, they've got the little markets, the little vendors, the street food, and the music. That's one thing in Mexico City. Not only do they have all these museums that you cannot believe Mexico City, you just don't imagine Mexico City would have so many museums, is also there is music literally all over. It's like New Orleans. You walk out on the streets and you're going to hear something within 10 minutes. You're going to hear some kind of music going off. So that just shows you the spirit of the city, what the Mexicans love, and just the whole vibe. So this park is beautiful because it's got all kinds of different things going on. So it is a must. And just to be in the park, I mean, you can take a morning walk in there or a walk every other day, and it'll be time well spent because it's so beautiful. Okay, next thing, right there at the park is the Museo Nacional de Antropología, or the National Museum of Anthropology. This is maybe even the top thing to do.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, what number is this one? And I think this one might have been your number one.
Yeah, this is so fabulous. This is like the Smithsonian of Mexico. The things that are in this museum are absolutely so fabulous. Well, it's considered the most famous museum in Latin America. And what it houses is Mexican pre-Columbian era from 100 BC to 1521 AD when the Spanish came to start colonializing this area. And it has all these artifacts, and it shows how the traditions, the culture, and life started and evolved in all those areas. In each region, whether it was Aztec or Olmec or Toltec or Mayan, I mean, they all had different Oaxacan, different things in their culture that was different from each other. Most of what you'll see is from this Mesoamerican area, which goes from the Pacific to the Gulf or the Atlantic and goes into Guadalajara and everywhere. But there's so much that went on in terms of pyramid building and all these spiritual beliefs with agricultural cycles and how it's tied to the moon and the sun. And there's so many things, and they created a whole religion and a whole culture and everything. And then the architecture that they did, the things that they built that early, it's just like in Egypt or anywhere. It's just so out of this world. You just say, who in the world really built this? I mean, how could this be done? But in this National Museum of Anthropology, you begin to really understand all this, because in all these different areas of these different Aztec, Olmec, you can see their statues, their sculptures, their building facades, their pagan religious objects, their clothes, the feather headdresses, jewelry, jade, pottery. It goes into all the aspects of life, and they depict it so beautiful in all kinds of media and the way they do it. They have things outside recreating different villages at different eras and pyramids themselves. They've got the actual Aztec calendar stone. This is like so out of this world, powerful, meaningful, beautiful, reverent, everything. As well as like there's a 16th century statue, Xochipilli, who was the Aztec god of art, game, beauty, dance, and maze. Very, very revered. Really, you could spend the whole entire day there. And if you did, you wouldn't be wasting any minute. There's so much to see. And you need to kind of take a break. I found myself after a couple of hours, I had to take a break because I didn't want to miss anything. And they had so many things. And after a while, you get kind of overloaded. Some of the things are so big. Some of the sculptures and the statues and the building facades, and it was huge. And so you're looking at all this and you're imagining, oh my God, they walked in there and this is what they did and what they were worried about and just all kinds of different things. And your mind will be thinking and trying to connect the dots. It wears you out. So you could see certain area for 3 hours, take a break, eat lunch, then go in another area, take a break, have coffee, then finish it off and go to the gift shop, and it'll be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it is so much to see, but it is absolutely spectacular, fabulous. It's as good as any museum I've ever been in, any place in the world. And this is all focused on what happened in this area in Mexico. And you don't see that very much all over the world. It's housed mostly what they found here. Fabulous museum. So that's a must do, and it's probably my number one to do. And I'm not really that into archaeology museums, mm-hmm. but this one is so fabulous. Even if you don't like museums, you're going to like this. Number 10. Chapultepec Castle. It's supposedly the only castle in North America. It was started in 17 or built in 1725. And really, it was the castle built for the viceroy, Spanish commander in chief for New Spain. I mean, this was going to be the headquarters of New Spain in the New World. So it's a beautiful castle. And later on, it was the residence of Emperor Maximilian I and his wife, Carlota. He was the Emperor of Mexico, which I didn't realize. He was actually a Habsburg prince, but he was. It wasn't too long, only a 4-year reign. But they have the Museum of Culture there. The castle is beautiful. The interiors, there are various collections in there, as well as beautiful gardens. So it's worth going to see for an hour, hour and a half, and just enjoying yourself there. Number 11. Now, this is outside of Polanco in Condesa, but it's not very far away. But you're going to have to take a cab, and that will take you some time to get there. But it's the Museo Frida Kahlo, or basically the Frida Kahlo Museum. Now, Frida Kahlo, for you that don't know about her, she is Mexico's most famous artist who is considered a modern day now icon. She's iconic status. She had the most interesting life. I don't want to go into it right now because I could do a whole show on it, and I did. I did a whole podcast on Frida Kahlo and visiting this museum, which is basically housed in Casa Azul, which was her home that she was born in, lived in, painted in, suffered in, and died in. And her life is so fantastic. And you get to go and see where she lived, how she arranged the interiors. You just feel her soul in this house and in the gorgeous tropical courtyards. The home itself is painted very bright in what I call Yves Saint Laurent electric blue with red, kind of rust-looking red trim on the windows and a kind of an olive green iron grates over the windows, but very elegant, but very vibrant. She had a Oaxacan mother. I think her mother was Spanish and Oaxacan, and her father was European Hungarian. So she had a very interesting kind of a mix of genetic cult and culture in her. And what she accomplished in her life with all of her heartaches and all of her health issues and tragedies in her life is amazing, because she spent most all of her life right in that house. It's amazing. And really and truly, it's probably number two on the list, because she is so fantastic. She will inspire women to be the best that they can be. Not feel sorry for yourself. Be a real woman. Dress like a lady. Express yourself. And then you see all her frailties too. And oh, but she was some kind of real powerful woman. You see how tragic her life was, but the legacy she left. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then number 12 also deals with Frida, but this is the Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo House Studio Museum. Now, she married Diego Rivera. He was Mexico's most famous muralist. And at that time, he was Mexico's most famous artist. And she was just his wife. And people didn't even know what she was all about. And then he kind of encouraged her to start painting. And then people started noticing her. Some French art dealer noticed her. In fact, after she was kind of starting to be noticed, she was the first Mexican painter to have a painting in the Louvre. I mean, she was something else. I mean, you got in her presence and whoa, she had so much charisma and intelligence and fire and, oh, Lord, she was, oh, yeah. But this house studio museum is actually two houses, and it's connected with a bridge. There's a beige house where he lived, and then there's a blue house where she lived. Now, this is not Casa Azul, but she married him. Oh, they had a tumultuous marriage. In fact, they even got divorced once and got remarried. He was a big womanizer, and she was also had affairs herself. I mean, they were way outside of the box of normal upper crust Spanish elite. Maybe not so much for the man, but Frida could break all rules and still be loved. But this is where he did a lot of his work. And you see most of his things there, but some of her artwork, something special. He's got quite a bit of the paper mache, what you call cantoneria figures, humans, skeletons, animals. They like to do this in Mexico City, this paper mache. And he did a lot of that. And you'll see that in there. Okay, number 13. Now, number 13 isn't a specific place, but it's on the list. And it's probably in the top five for sure. And it is to take a food tour. And this food tour will take you really through a lot of different areas. There are two that I really like, Eat Mexico, and the other one is Eat Like a Local. Mexican food is really to die for. So it's wonderful. You've got all this traditional food. You've got street food, then you've got the whole fusion and foodie and Mexican contemporary food scene. It's unbelievable. And I was born and raised in Louisiana, so I love Creole cuisine and kind of a more continental type of cuisine. Mexican cuisine, we have it here in Louisiana, but it's not really that good. Texas, it's much better, but I still wasn't totally enamored with it in Texas. When you go to Mexico, oh, man, you just think, gosh, this is as good a food as I've ever eaten. And the ingredients are so wonderful. And there's something, the way that they prepare. This is kind of how I bottom line it. I hate refried beans. When you take me and say, oh, refried beans, I go, no, thank you. My husband loves them, so he always eats my refried beans. In Mexico City, all I could do is eat refried beans. I mean, I wanted them with eggs. I wanted them with tacos. That in the guacamole, which is made with the fresh avocado. I mean, I stuff myself with those chips all the time, but the refried beans. Bottom line, the Mexican food is fabulous. So if you take a tour, you learn all about what makes Mexican food good and why, where to eat it, how they prepare it, how it's important in their culture. You get so much information on these tours. Like the one I went on, which was Eat Like a Local, 20 different stops. Oh. We went to different markets. We had street food, restaurants, little cafes. We had tacos, tequila, mole, fresh fruit, all kinds of exotic fresh fruit. We spent about 20 minutes at this fruit stand, and this gentleman would say, well, what do you think this is? And nobody would know. They'd think it was mango, but it was some kind of gajango or whatever. These great new tastes of fruit that you can't even make it up, but that was wonderful. Candies. Oh, candy. With chili. Chili. They put chili in all kinds of things, whether it's sweet, sour, all kinds of flavors. And I mean, I'm telling you, that chili, if done right, can spice anything up just perfect. Grasshoppers. We ate grasshoppers. I mean, flying ants. They eat all kinds of weird things. Octopus, beef tongue. I mean, they don't like to throw anything away. We had hot chocolate, custard dessert, soup, fresh fruit juice, and we ended it with some kind of spritzer cocktail. We're so full. Please, if you go on one, don't eat the whole day before, and definitely try not to eat that day, and definitely try not to overeat the day before. But it is fantastic. 3.5-4 hours. You walk a lot. You have to know that, but that's good. So it helps you get your appetite back on. But so much fun, so informative. And it was $80, a little pricey, but for what you got, it was a fabulous half a day. And then you don't have to eat for the rest of the day. And you probably want to go to the spa because you don't want to do anything else. You're so full. But it is great. So that's number 13. And that's really in the top five. Okay, the next one is in Polanco. And this is the Sumaya Museum. And when you're in Polanco, and you should do a couple of things in Polanco, or I'm going to tell you a couple of things that are in the top 20 there. But start your day here because it's beautiful. This is a very chic area of the city. This particular museum was built by Mexico's richest man, and he's either the richest man in the world or was, but he's always in like the top three. He's unbelievably wealthy. Well, he built this museum in honor of his wife who passed away to house his 66,000 piece art collection. He has so much art. He himself has tried to be the Hermitage or the Louvre. He's going to outdo Catherine the Great. But lots of Central American art that's housed and preserved there. He loves European art, so you'll see Picasso, Renoir, Van Gogh, all the major, and then Asian art, of course, Mexican art. The building itself is fabulous architecture. Well, it was designed by his son-in-law, who's an architect, and it is composed of 16,000 hexagonal aluminum tiles that shimmer in light during the day with different sunlight. It's spectacular. Well, he owns aluminum mines and plants and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is the shape and the architecture is beautiful. It kind of looks like the curve of a woman's waist. It's stunning, but it's one of the must-dos. And a lot of people just come specifically to Mexico City to go to that museum and a museum of Frida Kahlo. Seriously, those are two things that people who really love art, they come to Mexico City, which is hard to believe. You think, oh, well, Mexico, what's there in Mexico? You think, yeah. Also in Polanco, number 15 is Museo Jumex, or Jumex. The whole time. My mother's going to be so mad because she speaks, and my daughter, they both speak Spanish. Yeah. built in 2013, and the architecture of this building is spectacular. It is the largest private collection of contemporary art in Latin America, which is fantastic, because to think that there is appreciation and a desire to really showcase contemporary art in a country where you wouldn't think that there would really be that big of an interest in it or a movement in that direction. Yes. So this is a fabulous collection. Warhol, Kupfenberger, Cy Twombly, Damien Hirst, and lots of more. But this is a really special museum that is on the list for that reason. Number 16. If you're not going to go to Polanco to go to those two museums, you're going to go to Polanco to shop because the shopping in Polanco is fabulous. If you want to shop upscale designer, this is where you go. There are two specific places. First of all, the Avenida Presidente Masaryk, and this is the Champs-Élysées of Mexico City. It's a long thoroughfare, both sides of the street. I have all these fabulous international and Mexican designer brand goods. They also have fabulous restaurants, Rolls Royce, BMW dealerships, Maserati. But you can get whatever your heart desires on the street. So that's one area that has fabulous shopping. But I particularly think the most fabulous shopping place that I think maybe I've almost ever been in the world. I mean, I like Harrods, love Bergdorf Goodman's. Galeries Lafayette, it's not as much. Kind of the brands I think are watered down. But this new place called El Palacio de Hierro, H-I-E-R-R-O. I actually stumbled into this because I was on the hop-on, hop-off bus, and we were in Polanco, and I was going to walk down Avenida Presidente Masaryk, but it started raining. So I thought, I'm not going to walk in the rain. And when it stopped at this stop at this, so I thought, oh, I will go in here, I'll have some lunch, and hopefully it'll stop raining, and then I can head to Avenida Presidente Masaryk. Well, it didn't. But this building, first of all, is so gorgeous. It's like got this pyramid and some kind of other form on it and everything. And I thought it was a shopping center when I walked in there. And this very nice, well-dressed greeter greeted me and said, oh, welcome to blah, blah, blah. Do you have anything you're particularly interested in? And I said, well, not really. I said, I really want to just eat. I said, but this is beautiful in here. And she began to talk to me and everything. And I still thought it was a shopping center because it had these different bays, which had Chanel and Valentino and Dior and all of them. And then it had a big makeup area that kind of blended in. And she was talking about, well, they designed this area based off something Aztec thing. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism in all this that I didn't get, and she was telling me. Then I realized it was a department store or like Bergdorf's or Galeries Lafayette, but this was the Mexico of it. So here you have 65,000 square feet of the best shopping, indoor, gorgeous building. You're not out in the elements where hot and humid or rain. This is the temple of all temples of shopping. I mean, this is something else. It is fabulous. And then it has a couple of great restaurants. One is Perenda's Restaurant and Bar. And it was actually on that location first in 1892, and then it burnt down. But then when they did this fabulous department store, they put a new one in. Oh, that's where I had my fabulous last meal in Mexico City with very elegant waiters with the white napkins on their arms. I mean, this place is fabulous. Even if you don't want to buy anything, if you like beautiful things, go there. It's so much fun to just look. And the eating is great. And it's not expensive at all. The restaurant there was not expensive. A little sidebar, a couple of other restaurants in Polanco that I want to mention. I won't go into how great they are, but let me tell you, they're all great. The first two are greater than the last one, probably in reputation. But I want to mention them. Peugeot, celebrity chef, fabulous, top restaurant in the world in that top 50, as well as Quint O'Neill, another celebrity chef, a little bit different kind of food than Peugeot, but top restaurant in the top 20 or 50 in Latin America. And then also Hacienda de los Morales. That's a little bit more touristy, but very traditional Mexican cuisine in an old kind of hacienda plantation. They've got string quartets, pianists, mariachi music, traditional Mexican food. People celebrate a lot of special occasions there. It's in Polanco, and it's one of the places to go to eat. So I wanted to mention that. Okay, now we're going to head outside of the city for 17, 18, and 19. They might not take a whole day, but depending on the traffic, it could take you most of your day. The first thing is the Teotihuacan area. Now, this is 40 miles outside of Mexico City. It is the site of one of the largest pre-Columbian civilizations in pyramids in Mexico. It was basically an ancient city, like the city of Karnak outside of Luxor. At one time, they had as many as 125,000 people live there. It's got a huge pyramid of the sun, palace of the plume butterfly, the Olmecs, the Mayans, the Zapotecs. They all lived there. I mean, this was like Karnak, like a major Aztec, different Mexican tribal empire city there. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. You have to go there. Unfortunately, I didn't make it there because it was on my list and I got stuck in traffic a couple of the days and I had to let that go. But you shouldn't let it go because it is so like it. Also, they have a museum called Museo de Sitio or whatever. And you'll know it because it's right in that area. They've got all kinds of artifacts from this period that will explain it more to you. But wear sunscreen, bring a hat, bring extra water, and go early in the day because you're going to be out. You're up high altitude, parching sun. You'll be walking up these pyramids, and they're big. But that is a must-do. And you're going to probably have to go with the tour and just deal with it, but you'll probably learn a lot with it too. Next one is Xochimilco. Now, Xochimilco is definitely touristy, but it's still worth putting on the top 20 list because this is an agricultural town, which has these picturesque canals, and it's really older than Mexico City. But what they have is all of these open-air floating boats, not like gondolas, but they're bigger and clunkier. They have like little rounded kind of roofs on them, but they're all painted bright, and each one has a different name. Mine's name was Lolita. Well, I have all these boats on these canals and all these people on them, and they're all bumping into each other. They pull down these canals, and you go through wildlife preserves and floating gardens. But you got these mariachi bands that are coming down in other boats, and then you got the food boats, and then you got the jewelry boats and the vendor boats, and everybody's crashing into each other. And it's so colorful. When you walk to get on the boat, they give you a flower automatically. It's very touristy, but it's beautiful back in there. So if you put that at the bottom, well, you missed it. But still, you'll never forget it. Only one Xochimilco. And then, of course, I've got your restaurants along the shore and some souvenir shops. It's 7 days a week. best time to go is the weekday, because the weekend they probably all just bump boats. They're all crushing each other. And, you know, people are drinking beers. The taco boat came up, so I had a taco and a cerveza, and it was delicious. And then the mariachi bands are playing, and you're bumping. Okay, number 19 is the San Angel Weekend Art Market. This is the best open-air art market in Mexico City. The best day to go is Saturday. You will have some of the best artists out there with their works. You can haggle on the price. I mean, you're going to be astounded how good the art is in this park. It is great to go to. Plus, you've got a lot of arts and crafts. You've got a lot of clothing from ethnic people that really have made this, not just the knockoff that you see in a lot of the souvenir shops. This is the real stuff. It's just great fun. Around it, you've got all these shops. One particular great shop is called the Galleria Maria Bonita. Oh, this lady has beautiful things that are made from all these different ethnic tribes and artists all over Mexico to die for. I bought a beaded deer that I know could be put in any museum. It's about 18 inches tall, and I don't know how wide, maybe even taller than 24, but it's solid beaded with all these colorful beads. It looks religious. It's so beautiful. But the things that you buy in her shop are very fine quality. So you know you're buying something that is worth something. Then they also have El Bazar Sabado. It looks like it was in some kind of courtyard mansion, but it's got all of these shops now that go around a courtyard, and they're beautiful Mexican designer clothing, housewares, purses, leather goods. I mean, just very nice artisan quality things. In the middle, you've got the mariachi band and you've got the food. So you can sit outside and eat and listen to music. I mean, it is really wonderful. Highly recommend you spend your Saturday there. If you like art, if you want to shop, eat, and just be in a place where people are happy and life is good. One thing, remember, is I thought it was a real market where you have to get there at 7:30 and see with the best stuff before everybody. No, no, no. I got there like at about 7:45. Well, that's way too early. These artists don't get there until 10. So I had to go eat at a restaurant, which was all right. It was no big deal. But don't get there too early. 10 o'clock's early enough. Okay, number 20 is the last. Now, Mexico City is a city of markets. There are markets everywhere, small markets, neighborhood markets, street markets, all kinds of markets. But one of the most famous markets is the La Gunilla Market, long-standing, especially on Sunday. It's huge, three sections. You've got clothing, you've got furniture, you've got food stuff. Like I said, it's been there so long as even pre-Hispanics period. But they have antiques. They have mid-city modern furniture, vintage clothes, recordings, jewelry. Everything in this market from secondhand to new. But it's very good. I mean, this is like one of the best markets in Mexico City. So that's why I'm highlighting it, because there's markets all over. And you'll see a lot of the same kind of things, etc. But you'll know when you start seeing different things that, now this seems like the real thing. Well, this market is supposedly one of the best. And that's why I wanted to highlight it. Plus, all the fabulous food and drink and street food and all of that is all there. So it's a great place to spend half of your Sunday or maybe your whole Sunday there and blow out your less expensive shopping budget that you decided. Like
fun.
Yeah. Like I bought a white skirt, kind of flowy skirt. And then I bought a couple of those embroidered Mexican tops that look so pretty. Well, after I went to Frida Kahlo's museum, she loved to wear these over dresses over these skirts. Well, I bought one of those embroidered things. And, you know, I got so inspired. And it's also inexpensive. And then on top of that, you can do some haggling. So you come back with this big bag of all these things, and you've only spent like $30. So it's kind of fun if you like to do that kind of shopping. So I'm giving you the highest of the high, and then also this. So as well as with the food. So listeners, that's basically my list of the top 20 things to do as a solo traveler when you're in Mexico City. It was very hard to boil it down to 20. I could have easily expanded it to 50. But Catherine, my producer, is always saying, you know, we got to keep our shows a little bit shorter because, you know, people. But, you know, when I talk, I just want to make sure that I say everything that I want to say so people will get to know the information, the real bottom line. Okay, so the key things to remember or consider when you're going to this exciting city is, if all possible, go for a 1 week. Anything less than that, you're going to miss a lot, a whole lot. So if you want to try to see these 20 things, you a minimum of a week, and I had it and I couldn't do it. Mm. You need to stay organized, do your daily activities in certain zones so you don't waste a lot of time either walking too far or in traffic, because traffic is terrible in Mexico City. And then on top of that, you don't want to overdo it and do too much or try to do everything, because you're going to get exhausted. Mexico City, high altitude, hot. You got to stay hydrated, because after day two, you'll feel like, oh my God, I feel terrible. I've hit a brick wall. But it's because of the altitude, et cetera. So you got to drink a lot of water and make sure you don't overextend yourself, because you'll be so tired. What happened to me is the third day I was so tired that after lunch I decided I was going to the spa. I had to have a massage and regenerate my energy or my body. So on my last trip, I stayed a week. And like I said, I didn't do everything I set out to do. But I had such a great time. I really am planning a return trip next year. And if you're looking really for an affordable, fun, and enriching solo adventure, Mexico City, it really can't be beat. It has got culture, great food, interesting architecture, fabulous shopping, so much fun, and it's very affordable. So I love Mexico City, and I think anybody who goes there and spends enough time there will definitely have the same kind of reaction. Thanks for listening, and as they say, Catherine, in podcast world, if you've benefited from this information that I have shared today, please like, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe.
Listeners, I know that you definitely have benefited from this show, because Astrid just saved you so much stress of wasting time in your beautiful trip to Mexico City. If you listen to the show and you don't want to go to Mexico City, I don't know what else we could do.
Staycation. Staycation.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I know, yeah. I'm convinced. And one other thing we can do to make your travels just a tiny bit less stressful is to help you pack. We have an amazing packing list that Astrid has created. It's on her website, astridtravel.com. All you have to do is go over to her website right there on the homepage, get her packing list. It'll save you stress. It'll give you the space to bring home all these great things you find in Mexico City. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We do love people who listen and subscribe to the show. We love people who give us a great rating if you love what you hear. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoy Mexico City. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.